Blog Talk Radio.
Our show is going to be 5 minutes in, so
right.
People won't hear anything for 5 minutes.
Hello, this is Dave and Linda McDowell, and you're listening to Powerfully You Blog Talk Radio. We and Linda and I were talking this week, and we're having a really good conversation about the church. So we thought that would be our topic today, but before we get started, we kind of want to sort of introduce ourselves, since we're still kind of early trying to get this podcast regular, on time, and all the other things. And so we were talking about this. So I thought it might be fun just to tell a little story. So this is my wife. She often comes up with words that she is sure are real words, but they're not. So let me give you one example, and this is great entertainment for me. I have the most fun with this. One day we were talking, and she was talking about a cat that had been out in the yard, and she was looking out the kitchen window watching this cat, and she says, "He's just sitting there. He's so quiet and still. He's frozen. He's about to pounce on somebody." I said, "Excuse me?" "Yeah, he's about to pounce on somebody." I said, "Pounce?" She said, "Yeah, pounce, you know, attack something." I said, "You mean pounce?" She says, "No, I mean pounce." "Oh, that must," I said, "Oh, it must be a gay cat because he's pouncing." So anyway, that's our little story for the day. So we were just talking, if we could summarize ourselves, we're both spiritual, but I tend to be the anchor, and Linda tends to be out there on the end of the rope, dabbling out there somewhere, studying something, whatever. And I tend to be a little more typical, I guess is the right word.
Conservative,
whatever. I think we're both kind of headed toward each other, but it's interesting. Linda will be, for example, Linda's the one who's currently working on a doctorate in metaphysics. And so she's studying, who knows, I can walk in the room and there's no telling what she's studying, but I don't worry about it because I know her heart and I know how much she loves the Lord God, Jehovah, and his son Jesus. And she is so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that I don't worry about her learning and studying and, you know, something, because I know she's going to check her spirit and stay on track. So that's just kind of a little introduction. We'll tell more stories over time. You'll get to know us if you listen often. So let me start off with the subject. We were just talking about the church and, you know, what is a church? What's it mean? What's happening today? What's happened in the past up to a point? And so I think we should start with, you know, what, and we'll share our definition. And Linda's may be a little different than mine, because mine is very biblical in that the church, to me, is the body of believers. And I believe that body of believers is Christian, but I have learned over time, and I'm still learning, that I don't exclude people anymore. You know, I'm Christian, but if I'm going to talk to Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, atheists, agnostics, whatever, and share the same love and concern and joy that I would with anybody else, and hopefully we can exchange ideas and we can talk about ideas, and then I'm going to leave it up to the Lord. You know, I have a little theory that works really well with me, and it's a lot of Christians would say this is a cop-out. I don't. There are several theories, theology, idealistic, whatever you want to call them, theories that I don't understand. I have a hard time reconciling those with the God that I have learned to love and be intimate with, and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And when I have those things, I finally came to this conclusion. God isn't going to change his declarations, his beliefs, or his opinion based on what I say or think or do. I'm supposed to change mine based on what he says or thinks or does. And it doesn't work the other way. So when I have these dilemmas, I simply go to the Lord and go, Lord, this is your problem. You figure it out. I'm just going to love. And so Linda and I try to live by the two commandments that Jesus said were the greatest. The first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And the second is likened to the first, is love your neighbor as yourself. I don't see anywhere where it says if they're Christians or only if they're United States citizens or there's no, it says love. And so that's what we try to do. And we'll let the Lord sort it all out. That, you know, is the whatever. And so that's my definition of the church is from a biblical standpoint that I believe it's the body of believers of Jesus Christ. But I no longer just immediately say, you know, nobody else can be part of that. I have a hard time with that.
Okay.
What do you want
to say? I see the church as an organism and not an organization.
Mm-hmm.
The church as an organization is what most people think of, you know, the church building per se, this organization. But actually the church is the body. If it's the body of Christ and the church is the body of Christ, then that is a living organism that moves and breathes and grows and has stages. It is an organism, and that's what I see. If we see it as that, then, you know, I feel like we can identify more with it if we see it as an organism. Any organism has stages of development, and is in Christ.
Right. Well, you know, here's the other thing. If you use the term body, then you literally are talking about a body.
Mm-hmm.
And there are parts and pieces to the body, and this is biblical as well. You can go to the New Testament in particular, and I think it's Paul says some of us are feet, some of us are fingers, some of us are eyes. We all have a place and a function in the body. Now, I don't know what I would be called. I'm afraid it would be somewhere in the backside, but hey, we'll just leave it at that.
Your mouth.
Yeah, whatever. But we all fit. And that's one of the things that I think is interesting that I wanted to bring up when we talk about this is because my background, you know, I was raised staunch, conservative, Southern Baptist. My father was a deacon, ordained deacon. My mom was a Sunday school teacher, the kindergarten, the vacation Bible school. We were there when the doors were open and, you know, those kind of things. And I wouldn't change that for anything. I am so thankful for being raised as a Southern Baptist because of the emphasis they put on the word and how much I've learned. And the other thing is when you're raised that way, quite honestly, and I'm just going to say this as gently and honestly as I can, we were sort of taught we were the only ones going to heaven and everybody else was going to hell, including the Catholics and maybe some of the Methodists, you know. And I don't feel that way anymore. I think we're all part of the church. Catholicism and Catholics are part of the church. I believe that with my heart. Now, in any church, individual church, you will find people who are there who are not saved. They've never really committed. They've never really accepted Christ as their Savior, you know, or trusted God for their salvation. They're there. They're following all the rules. And so you will find non-body people in the churches everywhere. And then you will also find the others who are really learning and growing and seeking and what have you. So my other point is I think the Catholic Church has a purpose. I believe the Methodist Church has a purpose in God's plan. I see the Baptist Church or the Independent Bible Church. I think they all And some people can go to the Catholic Church and get what they need. I personally love the Catholic Church. Now that I only know it as a former Episcopalian, but that's where I learned the liturgies and the sacraments, and they became really important to me, and I miss them because I don't have that in the church we're going to now. And people meet their need there. I tend to think of the Catholic Church as more reverent, more awed of God, and sometimes I like that.
Well, and I feel like different strokes for different folks. I feel like that is the purpose of the different denominations because, you know, everyone can't relate to Catholicism and not picking on that or different things. But I think that's the purpose of the denominations. First, that we're all seeking God and that we all love Him. But the purpose of the denomination is to, if you feel more comfortable with this denomination or I feel more comfortable, I like the freedom of worship. I don't like, for me, starched, you got to do this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Five minutes after we have this prayer and 15 minutes after we sing a hymn.
Right. I like to.
And sometimes I like that.
Yeah, and that's good. You would fit there. I like to allow the freedom of the spirit, however that is for you. I'm not intimidated by people that maybe shout or whatever that comes up from them from deep inside their communication with the spirit. So I just feel like that is the purpose of when we can get beyond thinking everybody's going to hell, and that's a whole other subject, and just see that different strokes for different folks, that these denominations are just places where people commune that may be a little bit more like-minded in that ideation, and that it's not one against the other.
Right. Yeah, and we're back to what I pray for myself. And I started praying this back in, it was just a little before 2003, is unity. And I just said, Lord, you know, unite the church. Not necessarily the denominations, but the church. So that Catholics aren't criticizing Baptists, and Baptists aren't criticizing Methodists, and Methodists aren't criticizing Presbyterians. You know, and unite us as the body.
Well, and if you see the church as an organism or as the body of Christ, then Catholics might be a leg and Baptists might be another leg and, you know, somebody maybe it really kind of relates back to that the church is an organism and each body or each denomination of the church is a body, a part that is beneficial, and really it's that we all need to function together
we don't all have to function exactly the same. We do not.
We don't want our heart to function the same way as our lungs. We'd be kind of messed up.
And so I believe there is a purpose for the Catholic Church. I believe there is a purpose for the Methodist Church, so on and so on. And I'm not even going to go to get outside of the, frankly, Christian realm because that's the one I know, frankly. But, you know, I think it takes all of them. And Paul himself said, you know, we argue about things that just don't matter. They just, you know, sprinkle or dunk. You know, I don't think it really matters. As a Baptist, we don't. Yeah. As an Episcopal, I've been where they sprinkled. And, you know, I think both of them work.
It's the renewing of your heart, and we are both symbolic. But, you know, and then talking about church, you know, what is the church and where is the church going? You know, what are we doing in the church and how are we interacting in the world? Sometimes I know one of the things we talked about, and it's kind of like, is that I don't see, sometimes I see this. Now, this is not a general statement, but I don't feel like everybody is, including me at times, always representing the body of Christ in the best way. You know, and I think we have to be careful when we say we're Christians, because we are, you know, on the mark. Are you a Christian and then you treat somebody really badly in front of other people, but you just profess that you're a Christian? I feel like those are things, to me, as a church body, one of the most beneficial things that we can do for the body of Christ is walk the talk.
Yeah, be Christ-like.
Be Christ-like.
That's what Christian means.
Yes, and not that you don't have to agree with people, but in this political climate, I kind of feel that on both sides, that I don't have to agree with you or disagree with you, but I can treat you with respect and dignity. And I feel like that is a call of us to be salt and light, means that in however you feel politically or whatever, is that as first you're a Christian before you're labeling yourself, or me too, as a Democrat, as a da-da-da-da. At first you're a Christian representing the body of Christ, and that's your first obligation.
And let me say this without going there. Linda and I are not politically 100% the same. Trust me. And we've had to work through this ourselves, you know, of not assuming the other's different because of a label, or wrong because of some label that we put on them. And we're learning. But here's a good example, because we were just talking about this just before the show. And that is, we encourage all people to listen, to challenge, to send comments, to voice where they disagree. And we will listen to those, and we will love you, and we will respond. There's only one exception. If you get ugly and vulgar and mean, we will ignore you. And you know what? If we were to get ugly or vulgar or mean or nasty, you should ignore us. And that's our criteria. We, you know, all the pundits that you hear today in the political arena, we don't, like I said, we're not going to go into politics. If I hear them and they start calling somebody else a name, I don't care which side of the fence they're on, I turn them off. I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm tired of people being ugly to each other. It's not necessary. It does not have to be that way. But anyway, we kind of got off.
But it's just still that as the body of Christ, I feel like sometimes we forget that we're out there. We're representatives, and people are watching us. And it's, I hear so many people say, you know, people in the church are hypocrites, I say it myself, I'm going to be honest, sometimes people are, or that, you know, if that's how people in the church act, then I don't want to go.
Oh, I have immediate, very close people who, frankly, and I'm just going to say this, use that as their excuse not to be involved or go to the church, and my answer to that is, what has that got to do with you? That's their problem. They have to answer to God for that. You have to answer to God for where you are and what you're doing.
But I do feel it is. What does that have to do with you? It's that you're a representative of the body of Christ. So when you act, speak, talk outside of what Christ would have you do, that affects the whole body.
You changed my words a little bit.
Okay.
I'm saying, if you're not involved in a church or in a church body locally, and your excuse is it's full of hypocrites, and my response to you is that's got nothing to do with you.
And it really, that is
but
true.
But now, if you as a Christian are out there being ugly and nasty and mean, then yeah, you better stop and think, because that is not Christ-like. Christ could be tough. He could be zealous. But he was never mean for the sake of being mean. Well, he's never mean. He has some righteous anger once or twice.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with that, but it was in context.
Right, exactly.
He wasn't hitting on people or up in people, you know, doing something personal.
He challenged people.
He was challenging.
It wasn't mean. And I don't know any better way to say that. It just wasn't mean. It wasn't about punishment, humiliating somebody, and
falling
down and telling them how stupid they were. You know, and that's what I hear today. And I don't want to get too often.
No, and I don't either, but I'm in the sense of that we, if we are the body of Christ, we do need to think about that in our everyday living, because people are looking at us and a lot of things that you do or say for those who don't know Christ, sometimes they look at your behavior and think,
Well, you know, I got a couple things, but the first one that pops in my mind is St. Augustine, who said, every day at all times witness, and when necessary, speak.
Oh, that's so pretty.
Isn't that great?
I love it. I love it. Yeah, and that's true.
Walk the walk.
Pretty much.
And it's true. Now, are we going to mess up?
Yeah.
Are we going to sometimes get angry when we probably shouldn't?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when we have to, you know, go. And here's another little thing, and again, we're getting off on something else.
I kind of feel like we're on, because if we're talking about the body of Christ, then how we act and how we are portrayed as the church is part of being the church.
Well, the word says we are ambassadors.
There you go.
Christ.
Yes.
I represent the Jehovah God and His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And you know, eventually, if people are around me long enough, they're going to know that. Not that I'm going to preach on it, but sooner or later, it's going to come out, because that's just me. And I unashamedly will say, you know, preach at people, I don't, you know, but they're going to find out, well, guess what? They're now going to hold me to a standard that's pretty darn high and hard to live up to. But I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and when I do mess up, I'm going to confess it and say I'm sorry. And then sometimes that means going to that person and saying, I'm so sorry. I reacted poorly, or whatever it is.
So, okay, we talked as a church of how we are ambassadors. We talked about what the church is as a living, breathing organism. Do you feel like the church has stages of growth? We kind of talked about that.
We talked about this morning. In theological terms, we have eras.
Yes.
But in practical, everyday time, you know, like you and me, in my 60 years, I've seen small eras, E-R-R-A, era.
E-R-A,
E-R-A.
Yeah.
Yes, but I get it two R's.
Yeah.
E-R-A, excuse me. An era. For example, when I was seven, I was going to Southern Baptist Church, where it was pretty much fire and brimstone. I remember that pastor well. He was a dynamic preacher. But it was all emotion. It was browbeating and, hey, if you don't do this, God's going to get you. You know, I'm sorry, but that's what it was at that time. Well, when I was seven, it was 1964. And I can, you know, and then we moved into the 60s and the 70s, and you still have the Leave It to Beaver, for me now, suburban, white, Anglo-Saxon Protestant church, you know, where you showed up at, you know, Sunday school started at 9:45. It was done at 10:45. You had 15 minutes to get to 11 o'clock service, and you knew it was over at noon. You know, that was the way it was.
Well, and culturally, there is a difference.
Yeah,
And not a lot. I don't feel like I did, even though I was a Muslim a lot of part of my life, but I also went to church with my grandparents and stuff, and we did have, you know, the fire and brimstone. I do feel like there was more love and that kind of thing in the church, but there was some fire and brimstone, and we did have a Sunday school, and the, I can remember a lot of stuff, BTU and all of this, and it was pretty, this was at this time, this was at that time, which is nothing. I think that's great. I don't have a problem with that. It was just, I feel like the fire and brimstone probably, I would say, from like maybe the 40s to maybe the mid-60s was an era, and they taught what they knew. A lot of times I feel like the Bible, they took really literally in a lot of things. And so I feel like that was, they taught what they knew.
Yeah. And so you, then I think it seemed like to me, because I was part of this. I was there, you know, in the, like, 73 era, 74, 75, 70, right in there was a movement. Do you remember the Jesus movement? And it was young people just getting falling in love with Christ. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. There was a movie recently called Woodlawn that showed that. I hope you, if our listeners are out there, go watch it. I was there. I knew some of those people. I at least knew of them. And some of them I actually touched and, you know, whatever. And so there was the, you know, and I think that was influenced by the hippies in the 60s and 70s, you know. And it was okay. You know, all of a sudden, it was okay to have long hair and go to church. You know, and up until then, it wasn't cool. You know, and all of a sudden, now you can, you know, wear a tie-dye T-shirt and not be kicked out, you know. And then there were, you know, so there was a movement. To me, it was a movement of acceptance, but it was also a genuine desire to throw off the trappings and the customs and the traditions, and got back to really basic, I'm walking with Jesus.
I now, think that was a freedom. And I think about, as I think about that, and I'm, it's really funny how we're talking about from two cultural perspectives.
Yeah.
But as I think about the 60s through the 70s for a lot of Black people, especially in the church, that was a freedom. Civil rights.
Uh-huh.
The church was very responsible, very an organizational place for people to
very involved.
Very involved in the civil rights movement. So maybe that was an era of freedom where people were either fighting for their freedom and their rights.
I have a theory now. I'll be honest, it's not my own. I mean, I kind of stole it from an uncle, that there are times in history that are meant to be and would happen because God ordained them. And I believe, you know, if you go back to the 60s and the 70s, there was a work there of people throwing off the traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't misunderstand. Some traditions I love and I will always keep. But it was just that feeling of, let's look again. Let's re-examine the world and how we're applying it, you know. And so we have that. Then it seemed like in the kind of early, late 70s, early 80s, there was the charismatic Pentecostal movement where all of a sudden people started really believing and practicing and exercising and enjoying the gifts of the Spirit. At least that's what I saw, and I was part of that.
Yeah, I would agree with
in
that.
I wasn't part of it in that. I wasn't as into it as a lot of people, but I had friends who were, and I respected them. I won't go into what I think are the pitfalls of that.
If you look back at all of them, had pitfalls
that
you could find in each era.
And I think each one of them has taken us to a new place, you know. And so here's the other. So then we had the 80s where, you know, you had the Oral Roberts and the Kenneth
Copeland.
And
a lot of TV evangelists.
You know, and they're slapping you on the head and then playing in the spirit, which can happen. It's not I mean, I don't know that they
and
were
I would
all.
And probably take that to the 80s through the 90s, yes. kind of where TV evangelism emerged. And how did that affect the church? I think, did that affect church attendance of people? Because I know for a while in that period, I would listen to the TV events.
Yeah.
Sometimes I didn't go to church.
Right.
You know, church the building, but I feel like church the organism. But I also was exposed to, I feel like, some good words. There were times that now as I look back at, I didn't need, I mean, there were some good things. I got a good word. I got good things
right.
from the Bible. So I feel like that kind of like was an explosion of that whole Pentecostal and TV evangelism.
I think what has happened is if you go back and watch the trajectory, of, and we haven't finished. There's two more phases as far as I'm concerned. But you watch the trajectory from the very conservative, straight-laced tie and jacket, you know, to now we want more freedom. Now we want more freedom in worship. We want more freedom in the spirit. That takes us through the 80s, and then in the 90s, I feel what started has happened, and I think is somewhat still going on, is much more of an acceptance culture. And by that, I mean, I'm not talking about accepting the world. I'm saying we don't beat each other. If I go to the typical Baptist church today, since I've been here in Nashville, I've visited many of them. You don't get fire and brimstone. You get love. You get acceptance. You get that God loves. You know, it's really changing. Now, yeah, there's still things they're going to tell you wrong, and I agree that some of them are wrong. They're just flat wrong. You know, you can't interpret the Bible any other way. But I think there's a much more acceptance. You know, we've talked about this in that we feel, I don't want to put words in Linda's mouth, but that there are the millennials, and she's closer to that group than I am, and I'm not talking about age, it's just because she has a child that's still kind of in the millennium group and millennial group and all that, and they are looking for something else. They're not looking, they want, They want real. They don't want pie in the sky. They're not, you know, when you say, help me out here, Linda, you can.
Well, I feel like they want real, and they will challenge you to be real.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really come to millennials. And I feel like there sometimes that's why the church growth as a point in some churches may be declining is because they will take the real over the traditional.
So they don't want to just go to church and sit in the pew.
I don't. They want answers.
They want answers. They want something they can take with them on Monday morning. And we know that the church offers that, but it hasn't always done a great job of communicating it or walking in it. And then you have, you know, and it's just what happens. The church is full of human beings.
And they mess up. Right. And I feel like we can't be afraid to answer their questions because they're going to challenge us. They're not going to, you know, it may be an era where we were told what to do and that was how you did it and you thought that way. Well, they're not like that. They will challenge. And I think that's a good thing, that it makes us think and be accountable for what we're saying, preaching, teaching, walking, talking.
And that's part of what we're doing here with this podcast, folks. This podcast is for the unchurched. If you're a church person listening to this, great. I hope you're getting something out of it, enjoying it. You're thinking, because that's what we want to do is get people to think for themselves. Don't just accept whatever I say. Search your own heart, your own soul. Spend some time with God. But you know, don't get me wrong. I love church buildings. I love local church bodies. I want them. They're light and salt in this earth. But there are a lot of people today who are not going to set foot inside a church. And a lot of them are young people because they're disillusioned because they don't believe the church represents them. for whatever reason, I think a lot of it's false. I think a lot of their disillusion is from somebody else's opinion. But it doesn't matter. I still want to reach them. I still want to share Jesus with them.
And I feel like the best thing for the church body, the church to be, is open and accepting and not and being willing to answer tough questions to the best of your ability, or, you know, help them search through some of those tough questions.
Well, and I think people are tired of being preached at.
I am. You know, if you've been in the church for a long time, you're tired of being preached at.
And so, you know, in fact, this is, you can't hardly get to the church in the Nashville area now without finding small groups.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the church is. Well,
another
is starting to try to minister to these people, and that is small groups where you can actually sit down with 10 people or 15 or whatever the number is and have a real, honest discussion about Scripture, about baptism or the gifts of the Spirit, or how do you deal with this, and how do you deal with ambition at work. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things. People want real answers. Not that they weren't real. I'm not putting the church.
No, and I'm not, because I do. There are great teachers out there that I still love to hear and get so much from. And I do want them to continue. But it's, for me, I like the discourse that you have, the conversations you can have. You know, you take a scripture and you give me what you get from that. I get. And somehow that just builds, and by the end of that conversation, I've gotten so much from that. And not that I can't get that from a teacher teaching, but I like the intermingling, and I like them both.
You in particular,
yes.
want to go, hey, wait a minute, what about
this? I am probably
how does that
more
work
like
with this? And wait a minute, is that contradictory to this? And we want to think about it, but there's a balance there. You know, my walk with God is faith-based, and it will always have to be faith-based. What typically happens to me is I accept something by faith, and then God starts teaching me and showing me. And it's almost like, in some ways, I had more faith at 7-year-old. As a 7-year-old than I have today, because it was more based on what I didn't know. Now I've learned a lot. Now, a lot of the things that were faith-based, and they still are now, scripturally and experientially factored in. My faith has grown in some ways.
That makes sense, and I feel like that as you mature, that does happen. The thing about church for today, there are some things that, you know, some things that I question, probably like a lot of young people, but I couldn't get away from the church because I feel like I've committed to Christ, and I feel like I need to commune with the brethren. So that's my thing with the church. But I do feel like, the positive is that I do feel like the church has grown and that there is more freedom in Christ in the church, and that is a great thing.
Freedom in music,
mm-hmm.
freedom in teaching, and I'm not talking about compromising now.
Right.
It's just gentler and better and more real and more realistic and more down to earth, so to speak. And I don't know a better way to put that, but I have a family member, I won't name the name, asked her one time, if you were, you know, what do you want in church? And here was her, it was really simple. She said, I want to go someplace where I can share what's happened to me during the week and discuss it from a scriptural standpoint and a spiritual standpoint, get feedback, be able to give feedback, and be close to a group of people that encourage you. Are we doing that today? I think we do it better than we used to.
I do.
I think we still got a lot of room for improvement.
Definitely.
And our calling, I believe this, Linda and I's calling as a married partnership is to reach the unchurched.
Mm-hmm.
We go into church. Yeah, I'm going to church because I want to be the church. I want to worship. I want a connection with some local men, you know, Christian men. I went to a Sunday school service this morning. It was just a good old-fashioned men's Bible study. Read a few verses and everybody chimes in. I loved it. I enjoyed it. These were good, solid, Christ-loving men. It's hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not our calling. You know, I'm glad, and to be honest with you, I'm glad I'm not a clergy or a part of the church
leadership.
Because if I was, you know what I'd have to do? I'd have to take a harder stand in some places than I do. I can take a soft stand because I'm not, you know, nobody can say, hey, that guy, hey, the Baptist minister, you should have heard what he said. Now it's just, hey, and I go, yeah, well, it's just, hey.
Well,
and I can be softer.
Yeah, and more approachable. And sometimes it is, but, you know, like I think I said this a couple, we're all ministers. And I just feel like the ministry of the unchurched or those who, I feel like also those people who, how do you apply this? Because as we have aged and matured, I think that we've learned how to apply some of the scripture, and we're still learning. But I feel like that this radio program is that. It's us telling, well, this worked for me, and then growing in that, you know.
Well, here's an example. And, again, I'm not a Baptist minister, so I can say this. And if I was leading the Baptist church, I would guard this statement a little closer, to be perfectly honest about it. But I'm not. So what do I do? And that is, let's take the topic of homosexuality. The Bible says it's abhorrent. You know, that God doesn't like it, doesn't want it, et cetera, et cetera. Now, okay, but I have gay friends. Good friends. One of my very, very close best friends is lesbian. I have another friend who's, you know, a male who's gay. Linda has friends who are gay.
That we love.
And we love them. One of them is a minister. And I know that's going to step on some toes.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been to his church. I've listened to him. I've seen the people. And they were worshiping God. He was preaching the word. Now, how can I reconcile that with God's word? And the answer is, I can't. But I've learned something that works really well for me. Not my job.
And that's where I am. It's not my job.
It's God's job. I'm going to let him do all the judging he wants to do. I'm going to let him do all the justification.
I'm going to leave that with him,
and I'm going to practice those two things that we talked about earlier in the program. You're going to hear if you listen to us a lot.
He taught us to love
the God, Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say if they're heterosexual. It doesn't say if they're Baptist, if they're Protestant, if they're Catholic, if they're Muslim, if they're Hindu, if they're Buddhist. It doesn't say any of those things. It says your neighbor. That means the guy sitting next to you on the bus, in the restaurant, at work. I'm going to do that and let God sort out the judgment.
To me,
that's me.
I got plenty of
if
sins
I was about
on my
minister,
own.
I probably have, you know, to be honest, I'd have to be, you know, tougher. But I don't want to be tougher. I want love. And, you know, maybe God will change them.
Well, and then I think about, okay, as a church body, if we, and not that we get on a homosexual, but if we don't want, you don't feel comfortable with them in their church, in your church, and
where
they want
to
worship God, where do they go? Because they don't feel comfortable in your space or your place. They have to go somewhere if they want to worship the Lord. So, you know, we have to.
That's a tough one.
It's
it really is,
and I'm glad we're talking about it.
I'm glad I'm not a church leadership, because I would hate to have to deal with this for a congregation.
Yeah.
I only have to deal with it for me, and I found my way of dealing with it.
And
I
found.
I just tossed it in the Lord. Yay,
you deal with
it. It's your problem.
I love them. You know, and it's probably going to be some, you know what, I'm kind of over even saying it. Some people will disagree. This is our radio program. If there is something you don't agree with, write us. We are open to that. But we probably will say some things that are controversial. The goal of our program is to make you think. You don't have to agree with us, but it is to make you think. And that's one of the things as a church, you know, how accepting should we be? Because when we don't accept people in the doors and they don't come in, you know what I'm saying? And then at least we're not dialoguing with them. Maybe when they see people do things or whatever, we may reach them in another place. So that is, you know, with society and stuff like that, and not that we have to look like the world, but we do have to be a loving place where people can grow.
We are in the world.
Yeah.
We're not of the world.
We're not
of the world. That means it's around us, it's next to us, it's above us, it's behind us, and it's not going to change.
It's not.
And you're going to have to, we as Christians have to deal with that in a Christ-like manner. Well, let's talk about that. Who did Jesus eat with? It wasn't the Sanhedrin. It wasn't the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He ate with sinners. That's why he got criticized for doing it.
So I guess
he welcomed the woman at the well, a Samaritan, who he, as a Jew, he was not, quote, supposed to have anything to do with. He recruited, and we were talking about this today, 11, in today's term, beer drinking, tobacco chewing fishermen. You know, he didn't go out and try to find the most intellectuals. He found hearts. He picked hearts. I think that's what we're supposed to do. You know?
And let him do the rest.
Use common sense. Do, you know, exercise your discernment through God's spirit but ultimately love.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately.
And for me, I just choose to err on the, if I'm wrong, I choose to err on the side of love.
The side of grace. Yeah, I have a friend of mine who's the most graceful man I have, and he is a church leader, and he has to do things he doesn't really want to do. And it's a tough job for him because he is such a graceful man. I don't want that job. No, thank you. I really don't. I want to be someone. You know what I really want to be, and I think you do too, Linda. I just want to be a catalyst. I want to be that reaction that you drop into a scientific experiment, and then all of a sudden the smoke starts. That's what I want to be. You know, I want to be that guy that chemically reacts to every, you know, and causes people to think and to seek God for themselves.
Pretty much. I think we kind of got off, but let's get back to the church, and we got into the errors. And I feel like now we're coming. If two things can happen to the church now, we'll kind of leave this for something you to think about. The church, to me, sometimes is kind of going back a few years. Some people in the church, I won't say the whole church, because I see some people in the church progressing and probably some new eras and new periods of growth as we all age will occur. But I do see some things going back to the fire and brimstone and kind of some people kind of taking a few steps back. I don't feel like that.
Have you heard a sermon like that? Or?
Yeah, I have heard some sermons like that. You know, not a lot. I think some people in their thinking maybe be kind of taking some steps back. And I'm not beating nobody up, but that just.
Are you letting your political bleed over into you?
I am sometimes, but because it is happening, and I see it. I feel like we're going. As
we're
a cultural,
divided.
We're more, it's society is showing that. We're more divided. We are kind of taking some steps back where we were progressing. And I'm not saying that everybody.
Is being influenced by the division, the political division?
I do.
See, I think you're right.
I do. And my only caution with that, because everybody's entitled to your opinion or whatever, is that remember, before we are claimed as any party.
Before we are a Republican, a conservative, a Democrat, a liberal, a libertarian, what are we first?
We are first members of the body of Christ.
Yes.
And actually, that would probably be the only defining thing I would want to be defined as.
Yeah. That, if they were going to put an epitaph, you know, and summarize me spiritually, I hope they just say, he followed Jesus.
He followed, or she followed Jesus, and she was a member in the body of Christ.
So, how do we summarize here? We kind of, as always.
Well, I just feel like I would summarize it in saying that as to cause us to think, where are you in the growth in the errors of the church? Just look at yourself, and I'll do that for me too. Have you taken a few steps back? Are you as open and loving as Christ-like as God would have you to be? Have you grown in Christ? Are you at the same spot you were 20 years ago? Just something to think about. Because the church should be progressing. It should be growing. It should be, you know, it's an organism. Maturing.
I hate to use the word evolving. But
evolving. And all of those things, because if you're in the same place, the same thought process, is doing the same things and thinking the same way you were 20 years ago, if it's not following the word of God, I would just caution you to say, to ask the Lord, am I growing in you?
Yeah, and don't misunderstand. I'm going to kind of play devil's advocate in some way. Some things should never change about the church. Some things should always be the same.
And that's a personal opinion.
Yeah, that's my personal opinion. And then, but the application of the word needs to be examined regularly and re-examined and double-examined.
By all of us.
You know, are we really practicing the spirit?
That's true.
Of the word. And that's why, and to me, that's what the church is about. The church is us trying to serve the Lord.
That is it. I think those are two.
Okay, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, and you know, we started and had some technical difficulties, so the program didn't probably start. There may be a 4 or 5 minute delay in the beginning. We're going to try to edit that. I'm not sure if we can, but if you will just hold tight, take a cup of coffee, and wait till you hear one of our voices, we'd appreciate it.
And it will keep getting better. We are
learning
as we are evolving.
Yes, with this program.
So one of the traditions that we have agreed on, Linda and I, right, is prayer. So we're just going to have a quick one because we're almost out of time, and I'll leave if that's okay with you, Linda.
Yeah.
Lord, we just pray that, once again, you use this program to cause people to seek you, to be a part of you, to ask themselves, are they growing? Are they communing? Are they finding God? And if not, Lord, I pray that you show them how. You bring them resources, whether it be people, whether it be a book, whether it be a song, that you just touch their hearts and make them aware of you. And as we know, if you seek, you will find.
Yes.
We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in, and we see you again next week.